Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for another gathering of your people together to fellowship. We give you all the praise and give you the glory. I thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. I thank you because the same also will give us understanding in our hearts. Praise the Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I want to do this quick lesson. It's a follow-up actually from yesterday. I'm just going to give a quick lesson on the power of attorney from Christ to us and give us some scriptures about that. Praise the Lord. You know, so first of all, let's establish, the power that, Jesus had and has, because you can only give what you have. So today's lesson is titled The Power of Attorney from Christ to Us. So let's first of all establish what Christ has. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So Jesus declared that. Now, as we said, you can only give what you have. So if he has all the power, well, maybe he may choose to give it. Or give the power to act in his name. That's really what power of attorney is. Act on behalf of someone else. So Matthew 28 and 18 tells us that Jesus declared that all power in heaven and in earth is given unto him. And see the way he also said that. Because all power in heaven and on earth is given unto him, he therefore then sends them out to act in his name. So he said, "Go ye therefore," on the basis of the fact that all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go ye therefore and act in my name. So we see that Jesus lays claim to all power in heaven and on earth. Let's read Colossians chapter 1. Verses 15 to 19. He says, Christ, he's talking about Christ here. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Now Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, should all fullness dwell. Praise the Lord. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. So we see that all power is in Christ. All things were made by him. Everything that's visible or invisible, and that they be thrones, dominions, principalities, etc., they were all made by him. Praise the Lord. Now, having established that, let's read, what also the Father said about Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 to 11 shows us how actually Christ got this power from the Father because of his submission and of emptying himself. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But yet he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. So, those are declarations that scriptures are to make about, you know, Christ and the power that he holds. And we want to establish that first. Let's also read Ephesians chapter 1. We read from verse 20. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, well, let me just read it from verse 18. You know, this is Paul, you know, saying that he's praying for them, that he sees not to give thanks and to make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory in the inheritance of the saints. And to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. That's what we're talking about. Exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And let's see the power of Christ relative to everything else. It says he is set far above all principality and power, above all might and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, you know, now and forever. Name of Christ above all things. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus' body, the fullness of him, that filleth all in all. So, we have established that this all power in heaven and earth, now or forever, belongs in Christ. We see also that Christ is distinct and separate and above all. I mean, in Revelation chapter 5, we see that there was a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals, which no man could open but Christ. And whatever the book signifies, I believe that the title deed for everything, no one else was found worthy to open the book, look upon it, or read it, except the Christ. So we see that how that Christ stands alone, how that all power in heaven and on earth is given to him. Well, let's see also what was said about him, how God anointed him. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says how God anointed Christ with the Holy Ghost and power. Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. Now, having said all of that, Christ now says something to his believers, you know, about that same power. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of John, first of all, in John chapter 17, Christ was praying and he said, you know, as my Father, praying to the Father, say, Lord, as you have sent me, even so have I sent them. You know, that is, and then for their sakes I sanctify myself, you know, and so on. John 17 and 18. He's all praying to the Father, said, as you have sent me. How did he send him? We just reread it. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. went about doing good. Jesus himself took the book of Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to do these things." So that's how God sent him. And he came in this prayer, praying to the Father and saying, "As you have sent me, just like you sent me, I have also sent them into the world." That was John 17:18. And then before he left, you know, that one was prayer. This one was he telling the disciples directly in John chapter 20 and verse 21. He tells the disciples directly. He said, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now that's a transfer, you know, that's a confirmation of the power and the authority that he had. And he gave us the same power to act in the same. He also said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, you know, he said, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed me." He was the one that was in charge. God, you know, he's the only one that qualified to get it all. And he turned around and said, "Well, I appoint it unto you as well." It's a conferment, a transfer of power and authority he conferred upon us. He said to them in Luke chapter 10, verses 18 to 20, we read where he sent out his disciples, you know, more or less a practice mission. Go out and do these things. He said in chapter 9 of Luke, verse 1, he called unto him, his disciples, and gave them power over unclean spirits and devils and all these things to cast them out. And then he said to them, you know, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions." Luke 10 and 19. This is a direct power of attorney here. "I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I give it to you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you." Hallelujah. Praise God. And furthermore, he said that, "Look, go and do these things in my name." In the book of Mark, chapter 16, when he commissioned the disciples to go out, in each one of these cases, he put his name out there. He said, "Go ye into all the world and do these things," you know, "and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," and so forth. "This sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall do these things." And that's the power of attorney that he gave to us to act in his name. Now, every believer has this power, but most of the times we don't quite understand this, which is the reason I'm just giving us the scriptures that we may understand it. Paul was always praying for the young believers in those days, you know, that they should have this understanding. In Ephesians 1, verse 15, he wrote this prayer that was in his heart to pray, you know, for these believers. And he said, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord and the love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks to you, for you, making mention of you in my prayers." What was he praying about? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance the saints are, that you may understand the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of that mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, caused him to sit on his own throne. I mean, the right hand, far above principality, you know, and power and might, above all things, all dominion, every name that is named, not only, you know, in this world, but that which is to come. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head for all things to the church. So we see how, you know, Paul was always praying that we might understand this. Praise the Lord. And if we understand it, yeah, well, then we should act accordingly. You know, likewise also in Colossians chapter 1, he said from verse 9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, we cease not to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And that's that fruitfulness again that we've been talking about last 3 days. And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of this inheritance, this power. So Christ had the power. He conferred it unto us. Paul's praying that we may understand that we have the power. And then what's our role now? Well, everything that Christ had power over, he gave us power to act in his name, to have the same power over that. That's what power of attorney is. You know, what is that power of attorney from Christ to us? What does he do for us today? Well, think of it this way. You know, he left and gave us the Holy Spirit. And we are now to represent, and we're kind of in charge of things. You know, so he said, well, act in my name, do these things, represent, you know, and so forth. So, you know, the power of attorney that Jesus left with us, you know, he giving us the, we have the authority to act in his name. Yesterday we talked about acting in his name. Is beyond just repeating his name. Repeating his name is powerful, but it's beyond that. You must know the power that lies with that name. You can use it accordingly. Let's look at some of the places and how you can use that name, even just in prayer alone. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 13 to 14, Jesus was talking about trying to teach the disciples how to use his name, even in asking things from the Lord. He said, you know, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that's right, that will I do. John 14 and 13, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, the power of attorney lies in the name of Jesus. We must use that name when we pray. It is the name of Jesus, not any other name, that carries this power. He said, ask in my name, and I will do it. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 16, he said pretty much the same thing again. You know, he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit. You know, fruit. We're talking about that the last few days, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So we're to pray even in the name of Jesus. Not to pray in any other name, but in the name of Jesus. That's the name that we were given. Even for salvation, Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 say, the stone which the builders rejected have become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, you know, but Christ. And this is the one through whom we must be saved. There's no salvation in any other way except through the name of Christ. And again, you know, we see how in Mark 16, he sent them forth to act in his name. Furthermore, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus, he said, look, heaven will stand 100% behind that power of attorney. That's what he means. He said, well, if you ask anything in my name, well, I will do it. Two of you get together and agree, I will do it. And that means the power of attorney, God has validated it only through the name of Christ. And if we understand how to use that, you know, it's just, it's guaranteed. Jesus said it himself. He said, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you should lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Means heaven will sign off on whatever you do when you do it in the name of Christ. Of course, we know the Spirit of God will lead us to do only what's in alignment to his will. But it is the name of Jesus that carries this kind of power. Praise the Lord. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, this is the name that's given to us, not in the name of the Father or the Son or so forth. It is the name of Jesus. Do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what the scripture says. This is how we get the victory and get this power of attorney, you know, working for us. Now, Adam had this. And even more at the beginning, you know, but he was able to act in God's stead from the beginning. You know, that's power of attorney. You know, and in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, the Lord formed every beast out of the ground, the fowl of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called the living creature, that was the name of it. And Adam gave names to all cattle and all fowl of the air and the beast of the field and so on and so forth. So that was Adam acting on behalf of God. You know, God put him in charge and he stood by to see what he would do. And whatever Adam did, God sanctioned it. Made no corrections whatsoever. But Adam's own, we explained yesterday, his own went even in the realm of dominion. But we have been given power to act in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we can cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, we can heal the sick. In the name of Jesus, you can pray and ask for anything that's according to the will of God. And Jesus said, I will do it. If you ask anything. In other words, when you pray, you say it in the name of Jesus. Say, I will do it. Well, if you decide to make it a prayer rather than a declaration, so there are two ways you can pray about those situations. You can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and he will still do it. Or you can just pray in the name of Jesus, the thing. Yeah. And say, well, in the name of Jesus, I command this mountain to move out of my way. You can do it that too. And, you know, the Lord said, I will do it. You speak in his name, or you pray in his name. Whatever you do it in his name. The power of attorney that he has given us. And he said, I will do it. Let's see an example of how the early apostles did it. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3. You know, after the day of Pentecost, the great phenomena of Holy Spirit coming in tongues of fire, splitting on all of them, receiving power like that, and boldened to do great things for the Lord. So Peter and John, they're going, you know, at the hour of prayer, they're going to the temple to pray. And this is happening in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb, was carried and laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked from them an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said, look on us. So the man looked on them, expecting to receive alms from them. Now this Peter and John and the rest of them, they were not used to carrying money around. But Jesus sent them out one time and told them, look, when you go, carry no scrip, no purse, no this, no that. Just go. The Lord will provide for your needs. Wherever you go, wherever you enter, if they receive you, well, stay there. If they don't, move on to something else. Don't carry money or all of that. You know, so they're not used to carrying money around. They're just used to trusting the Lord for providing, you know, dynamic provision for them when they need it. So Peter said, well, I don't have any money to give you, but I give you what I have. Now notice what Peter is about to give this man. Now, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you. That's right. And what is it that he has? Well, he turned around and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, that's something he had. He may not have money to give this man, but he had the power of attorney in the name of Jesus to act in the name of the Lord. He knew that Jesus could heal that man if Jesus was there. Well, Jesus is not there now. You know, Peter is the one that's there, and he can act in the name of the Lord and do exactly the same thing, but it's got to be in the name of Jesus Christ. So he says to the man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's something I have. I can give you that. So the man, you know, probably was wondering, what do you mean rise up and walk? I can't walk. You know, I'm here. Just give me something. So Peter is not even going to let the man even think about it. He grabs it. Now, this is audacious faith. Peter is going to grab this man by his hand and yank him up. Praise God. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up. You know, not waiting around for the man to say whether he's healed or not. power in the name of Jesus. And immediately, the man's feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked. And he checked it out. So my goodness. Oh my goodness. Took one step. He took another. He walked. Oh my goodness. then he went from standing up to walking. Then he went from walking to leaping and praising God. He was walking. He was leaping. He was praising God. He entered inside the temple with them, running around. And it caused an uproar in that place because, you know, usually everybody was trying to be so civil and everything during this, you know, when they are in the temple for prayer and so on. This man running around screaming. Everybody said, what's going on here? You know, so when they saw that all of that was going on, everybody was filled with wonder because they saw and knew this man. And he's the one that used to sit every day. In fact, when they came in, the same people, just like Peter and John, came into the temple, the same man had asked of them something. So everybody knew him. And now he's running around screaming and praising God. They're wondering. People greatly wonder. So when Peter saw, now listen to Peter's answer. This is how the name of Jesus must be glorified when we use his name. When Peter saw, you know, all of that was going on, he answered the people and said, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look you so earnestly on us?" You know, as though, you know, we, by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. Why are you thinking that we did anything? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus. Now, this is also another way to bring glory to the name of Jesus. When you use his name publicly in bringing to pass some miracle, then we turn around and give that glory to Jesus. Let them know that it was his name. That's what Peter is doing here. He said, God had glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up. He's going to indict them now. And denied him in the presence of Pilate. You know, Pilate wanted to let him go free. They wanted Barabbas instead. You know, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Now, you killed the Prince of Life, told him, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. A notable miracle is done here. Who can deny it? So, and his name, see, listen to this. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. You know this man very well. Yea, the faith that is by him. This whole time, he's putting the attention back to Christ. He's not trying to gain any popularity here. He's not trying to gain any attention. He's pointing it right back to Christ. The name of Christ, whom you crucified, he said, whom God raised from the dead, his name has given this man, whom you know by faith in that name. He's explaining this miracle, gave him a chance to preach the gospel in just 5 minutes. You know, and he said to them, this name of Christ, faith in his name, has given this man this perfect soundness, the presence of you all now. And he said, look, now, you know, I know that through ignorance you did what you did by condemning Christ, even though Pilate would have let him free. You did this thing to run. But all these things God had preordained by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer these things. That's why you did it. You know, repent ye therefore and be converted. See, the powerful miracle in the name of Jesus leads to that, you know, testimony about his name. And now he's going to use it to challenge all of them to repent. A powerful way of using the name of Jesus, you know. Now, even later on, the chief priests, captain of, you know, Pharisees and so forth, did not like the fact that Peter and John are preaching about the resurrection. Because the Sadducees, you know, the sad, you see, they're always sad. And carry these long faces. They're called sad, you see. So the Sadducees, they were, you know, they never believed in the resurrection. The Pharisees did, but the Sadducees, they never believed anything. So they gathered together, the priests and everybody, and got a hold of these people. Put them in hold, said, look, don't teach these things in the temple. It's wrong doctrine. Talking about resurrection. you know, and so forth, you know. So they put him there and all of that. And well, Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost, so what he said. He said, this is chapter 4 now, and we begin to read from verse 8. Ye rulers of the people and ye elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, unto y'all, and to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he's going to tell them, put that name out there, whom ye crucified, that them again, whom God raised from the dead, that's right, even by him, Christ, does this man stand here before you whole. Now this is the stone which you builders rejected, even as the psalmist said. But God has now made him the head of the corner, and there is no salvation in any other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now, so it went on and on, you know, and they found out that, look, there is nothing that they could do because this miracle was done in the name of Jesus. And they saw it, although they threatened them and did all these other things, you know. But listen to what the people said. So when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. But they looked at the man. They saw the man was healed. They could say nothing against it. So they sent Peter and John away, put them in another room so that they can decide what they're going to do with them. Now they said, look, what shall we do to this man? You know, because that a notable miracle has been done by them, we cannot deny. Praise the Lord. So miracles speak powerfully. The testimony of Jesus, when you do the miracle in the name of the Christ, and when people wonder, you point them again to the name of the Christ. It's exactly what Peter never took glory. In fact, he refused to even bring attention and said, don't you think that we did anything? He was the name of Christ through faith in his name that gave this man the perfect soundness. And I said it multiple times. And so these people finally said, look, we cannot deny this thing, that a notable miracle has been done. Well, what are we going to do? Since miracles cannot be denied. You know, you might be preaching to people and they might be arguing and so forth. But when you come in the name of Jesus Christ and do a notable miracle, they can't deny it. And they could not deny it in this case. So they said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to threaten them, beat them, threaten them that they should not speak anymore in this name. So they did that, and they let them go. You know. But we see how they used the name of Jesus, acting in his name. Now, Jesus is gone now. they have to, you know, represent. And, you know, Jesus, he left them some things to do, too. I mean, this man was there when Jesus was around. This man that was at the gate, he wasn't a baby. I mean, Jesus was gone just, you know, 40 or so days ago or whatever. You know, and this man had been there, but you know, Jesus left this miracle there for these people to perform in his name. And now they're using the name of Jesus and bringing glory to God. And also using it to preach the gospel. Powerful way to use the name of Jesus. Now, let me summarize what we're saying here. This is really a follow-up on what we said yesterday. Just a few more scriptures to be added. The name of the Lord gives us power of attorney. Act in his name. Jesus conferred that upon us. Say, act in my name. In fact, he even said, if you forgive anyone in my name, I forgive them also. So you have the power, you know, of priesthood in his name too, you know. You can forgive. Now, it's a dangerous thing if you don't forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So if you do not forgive somebody, then their sins are retained because you did not forgive them. And that means you yourself, you are in jeopardy of not being forgiven. You know, so when we act in his name as priests, we forgive others. We act in his name as priests, we pray for others, you know, in the name of the Lord. And in his name, we can do these things. The power that is in him. But in order for us to make sure that the power of attorney, which we have invested, God has invested in us, works also to our own benefit. Now, people will receive the benefit of the miracles and the signs and the wonders. But in order for we ourselves to make sure that the power of attorney works well to our own benefit, we must walk in the integrity of our heart before the Lord. Otherwise, Paul said, you know, lest after I preach to others and done all these things, I myself should be a castaway. And Jesus himself, talking to the people, explaining it, that, yeah, you know, there's going to be a situation where, you know, some people will say, and come to me in that day and say, you know, have we not done this and have we not done that? Let's read it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So he's going to give them an example of how being denied entrance might happen. He said, many will say to me in that day, what day? Well, the day of reckoning. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have we not cast out devils? Now look at all the things they did in his name. They prophesied in his name, they cast out devils in his name, and in thy name we did many wonderful works. You know, so they were actually doing it in the name of the Lord. However, the Lord said unto them, I never knew you. So this is a great lesson also, because they were workers of iniquity. Now, that means that people can be using the name of the Lord, and they may still be workers of iniquity, which is a sad thing. But we have not allowed, that means we've not allowed the Holy Spirit to do the full transformative work of removing the element of and the nature of sin from our lives. Carry on in sin, carrying on in disobedience to the word of God, and yet you're using the name of Jesus to do these things. Well, it may work, but on the last day, you know, when you are faced with the Lord, because every one of us shall give account of himself, the Lord said, well, there are some that will come and say, well, Lord, we did all these things. Because Jesus said, I never knew you. And they began to try to argue. Jesus said, depart from me. You know, that's it. You know, depart from me. Because I never knew you. You know, so, you know, we must walk the walk in the light of his word and integrity of our heart, even while professing his name and even while using his name to act on his behalf. But granted that we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and as I often say, the role of the Holy Spirit is to make sure you present that church blameless. And for each individual, he'll get you there no matter what. He will show you what needs to be cleansed. That's right. He'll show you. And he will help you too. Now, it's only if we are rebellious, even after he's showing us, we don't listen. And that's the problem. But the Holy Spirit will convict us and he will show us. Won't condemn you, but it will show you and try to bring you to the Christ, to the cross, and give you, you know, grace to find strength in the scriptures, find strength in prayer, find strength in fellowship, and all those things, you know, that can help you. He would do that. So let us summarize the power of attorney. It follows after the lesson of authority yesterday. Authority is a dimension of dominion, although lower dimension of dominion. It's a lower level that we have. Dominion is much higher, you know, but, you know, let's use what we have now. People ask Jesus, his disciples did, well, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, well, it's not about increasing your faith. It's about you using what you already have. If you have faith, he said, as small as a grain of a mustard seed, you can do great miracles with it. You know, so we may not have dominion over everything yet. We explained that yesterday. But we have authority over what he gave us authority over. Yeah, so which is a smaller scope of dominion. You know, when we get into full dominion, just like Adam, it's whatever you say goes. You know, you're just completely in charge. You do as you please. You know, and God's not going to give that kind of dominion to a person that's not fully regenerated and had become like Christ. That's the prerequisite for that. In his image and after his likeness. Then they can have dominion. Be like him, look like him, think like him, have his character, and then they are ready to have dominion. Holy Spirit is still working on us on all those things to make us look like Christ, to make us think like Christ, to make us talk and act like Christ. Well, Holy Spirit is still working on us. Let us yield to that work. And then we can use the name of the Lord effectively. And remember, even the devils fear and tremble at that name. Because everything in heaven and on earth must bow at the name of Jesus. That's the end of my lesson today. It'll be a quick one. And I'm going to pray for grace and understanding that we may go forth and use this name to the glory of God. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray, even as we have shared the scriptures, seeing how that Christ gave us his authority, we pray, Lord, that we may have understanding of this power of attorney that's been handed to us to act with the same. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. I appoint you a kingdom, Jesus said, even as my Father appointed me. I give unto you power, Jesus said, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Go, Jesus said, in my name, heal the sick. In my name, cast out devils. In my name, tread upon serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Above all, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we represent the gospel of kingdom to people, that they themselves may see the light and come on in. You know, go ye therefore, because all power is given unto me, Jesus said. Go therefore with that realization and represent and teach them the same things that I have taught you. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to make disciples of the people. Teach them these things. Help us, O Lord, in that mission and that mandate, in the name of Jesus. And we must bring everything to the obedience of Christ. But first, our own obedience must be fulfilled. Help us, O Lord, to be fully yielded to the Holy Spirit, so that after we have preached to others or even used the name of Christ in doing these things, we ourselves will not be a castaway. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and
amen. Amen.